Hello, I'm Elliot Harkavy, part of the Bureau of Justice Assistance's Body Worn Camera Training and Technical Assistance Team. And today I'm speaking with Dawn Parkey as part of BJA's Body Worn Camera Podcast Series. Dawn Parkey is an office manager who works for the Little Traverse Bay Band of Ottawa Indians Tribal Police Department. Dawn believes that officer safety comes first for the department, and that the best way to achieve a safer work environment is through training, updated technology, and equipment. To achieve those goals, Dawn works closely with the tribal grant writing team to secure grant funds used for updating those items. Dawn has recently helped secure a body camera pilot program grant through the Department of Justice Assistance. The grant required a policy to be written for the use of body-worn cameras in the department, including storage, retention, and distribution of video. Dawn is a BIA Indian Police Academy certified basic telecommunications officer, as well as a law enforcement information network terminal agency coordinator and local agency security officer. Dawn, thank you for speaking with me today.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share our views on what we went through with our policy writing and grant fulfillment.
And we are glad to have you.
Thank you.
So to start, what are the biggest challenges to implementing a body-worn camera program for tribal police departments?
Some of the things that we ran into were that we have to go through our tribal council to have approval before we could even apply for the grant. So they had to say, yes, you can apply for this grant. If you get it, we will allow you to carry body-worn cameras. The next thing that was rather challenging for us is that we didn't write just for our tribal police department. We also wrote for our natural resource conservation enforcement officers as well. So we had to build a policy that would suit both departments. The things that the natural resource officers run into are quite often different than what our regular law enforcement officers run into. They're dealing mostly with hunting and fishing violations where someone maybe doesn't have a license or they're hunting when they have been told they can't carry a rifle. Those sorts of things. Of course, the PD, the police department, they handle every kind of call from domestic violence to traffic stop for having a taillight out. So totally different situations that they run into. We wanted a policy that would cover both without being 50 pages long and having someone have to memorize when we can use our camera, when we can't use our camera, and being confused about it and not using their cameras at all. So getting enough information into our policy to make it easy for the officers to use the cameras without being too restrictive and having them second guess themselves as to when they should be using it was very challenging. As we went through the policy development, we ran into the fact that we would need to run it through our legal department to get approval on the policy before we were able to send it into the BJA. Other than that, our policy writing actually went very smoothly. We received quite a bit of help from our TTA team. Chief Hogan and his group were wonderful. I strongly suggest that anyone going through this process work closely with our TTA team.
We're glad to hear that the TTA team were quite helpful and excellent resources. We really strive for that. So going back to the specifics of the policy, what policy challenges might a tribal police department face that are different from other police departments? I mean, certainly having to merge the policy for both police and natural resources police, that's certainly a challenge. Were there other challenges that you faced that other police departments that aren't tribal police departments might face?
I don't know that we faced greater challenges. Our challenges maybe were a little bit different. in that we needed to get the information out to our community that we were applying for this grant, and when we were accepted into the program, getting that information out there so that our community knew that we were going to be having this newer technology, and getting it not so much that it's protection for the police, but this is a protection for everybody. The camera keeps our interactions with the public non-biased. As everyone knows, when you write a report, you write from your perspective. Now, the person on the other side of that would have a different perspective, but the camera has a non-biased view. It just shows what actually happened. That was something that we considered to be very important, to get that information out there. But with our community being scattered, we didn't have a lot of opportunity to put that out there to everyone in our community. The folks that live near where our police department is were able to get a little more information, but we have members that live in very scattered areas that might have had some input as well. They had just a couple opportunities to hear about it. So that in itself is kind of a challenge for communities that maybe aren't real close. Our reservation is very tiny, where I know some of the reservations out west are huge and cover not just miles, but several states even. So I don't know how they would see that challenge, because they'd be working in different districts, but overall it would be the same community, the same tribe. Our community is intermingled with people that are non-tribal. We have a very small community compared to the general population. So our officers are cross-deputized with two of our local counties, so they are able to back up any officer that's out on a scene, whether it be the city police, the county police, or the state police. That's very important. And having our body-worn camera footage is also important for them to have another view.
Well, I think that not only having to deal with the tribal, but also dealing with the backing up the states and the locals is certainly, a unique challenge, especially if you have different laws in the reservation from the surrounding communities?
Okay. We do have additional laws. We basically follow the same laws as the state of Michigan, but then we also have our own laws and statutes that may be more restrictive. We have an entire program of statutes that we have to follow above and beyond what the state laws are. On the reservation itself, any land that's held in trust, we also follow federal government statutes. State of Michigan says that people who have a medical marijuana card can have marijuana. The federal government says no, as an example here. So on the reservation, we have to follow federal law above state law. So if someone is searched on federal property and they're found to have marijuana on their person, then we have to charge them with the federal crime.
The overlap of the federal and the state and the different priority of federal versus state versus tribal certainly could be a challenge.
Absolutely.
And how does that play into the BWs, into your body-worn camera policies? The fact that you have so many different legal structures overlaid, you need to prepare the officers to use their cameras both in the tribal property with the with one set of legal codes, and then off the property with a different set of codes. Does that play into the policy or use of the cameras?
The biggest difference is where the footage is going to go after it's been recorded and we've added a report to it is we deal with the U.S. attorney in our district for anything that's federal. Non-natives generally tend to go through the county court in Emmett County, which is our closest county where most of our reservation properties are. And natives will go through our tribal court where we have our own prosecutor and they see our judge. The only non-natives that we can bring in there at this point are the ones that violate our traffic statutes and folks that are being charged under the VAWA Act. Otherwise, they have to go through state court where they would see the local county prosecutor as their charging prosecutor, not our tribal. Our local county prosecutor is very good at working with our officers to make sure that we have a good, strong case for anything that we send through there. He's very familiar with working with body-worn camera footage because both our county and our city officers in the same town use the body-worn cameras as well.
Are they using the same equipment and the same back-end software as you guys are, or are you using disparate equipment?
That I don't know. I know that we worked with their policy as well as a couple of different tribal body-worn camera policies in the writing of our policy. We used some of their wording for some of our policy, but then, of course, went off on our own special things that we wanted in there as far as dealing with our tribal community. So some of the things that are in our policy parallel what is in the local town policy.
So what were some of those specifics for the tribal policy that differed from the local policies, and how much of that reflects the specific cultural community privacy concerns from within your tribal unit?
The city policy follows Michigan State FOIA laws. We have a separate FOIA process, and on the advice of our legal team, we chose to go first with our tribal FOIA statute, which says that only tribal members are able to see body-worn camera footage, basically any legal documentation. There has to be a tribal member that asks to see it. So general public is not ever going to see those videos unless they're released for publicity by the tribal police department, where the city goes by whatever the Michigan state statute is on being able to, Freedom of Information Act, ask for body-worn camera footage. And while we were writing our policy, the state of Michigan passed a new privacy law for body-worn camera footage. So we were pretty much done with our policy, and that came out. So I promptly sent that to our TTA team and asked them, and we take a look at our policy, make sure that we've covered this. This is not going to affect how this is written. If there's anything we need to change, please let me know right away. And they were able to take a good look at it and say that this is pretty well covered in here. I don't think you need to do anything different. That was very much a relief from the, do we have to start over? And we fortunately did not have to. So I really credit our TTA team with helping us to get everything in line with our policy so that we were able to cover all of the things that our scorecard asked for.
And so glad to hear that they were so helpful, and that is what we intend. Would there be anything else from a cultural or community standpoint that was different between your policies and the surrounding community's policies?
Not much. Maybe we changed a few words here and there. Basically, we tried to stick with a generally acceptable policy. So I think pretty much other than the things that are specific to our tribe, our policy is quite a bit like other departments that are non-tribal.
So basically the two major differences were handling information requests and the fact that you have to bifurcate your handling of the video between two different prosecutorial streams, the federal or tribal prosecutorial stream for tribe members and the local prosecutors for both non-tribe members within tribal property and also for your backup support to the local agencies.
We also have anyone that's non-tribal who is charged on federal property, which would be our lands and trusts.
That would be three streams then.
They may go to the U.S. Attorney Western District Court.
So there's actually three streams. There's the tribal prosecutorial stream, the federal prosecutorial stream, and the state local prosecutorial stream. And that would be three different ways to handle the video once it's captured, depending on the nature of how it's going to be used.
Correct.
Do you have any difficulties in that? Do you need to use different systems for that, or are they all using a similar system?
We're using the same system for all of them. The system that we chose to use is evidence.com for our storage. And with evidence.com, there's a prosecutor's link where they can go in and just pick the video up from there that they need for the case. So that video is made available to them without us having to burn a copy of it to send to them. It's right there. They go to their link, they can get the video, and proceed from there.
That's good to hear. What are unique funding challenges that exist for tribal law enforcement agencies such as yours?
We are funded almost totally by BIA 638 funds. So our budgets are set almost a full year in advance of when the budget's going to come into effect. So our budget ends at the end of the calendar year and a new one begins. So right now we're in the process of preparing our budget for next year. So by middle of February, we have to have our budget planned. So if we want to add anything as far as equipment or technology, we have to plan that well in advance of a year ahead of time to get it into our budget. That can sometimes be sticky because things change in price between the time that we've planned our budget and the time that we're actually going to be able to implement that. So that was one of the things that we looked at with being able to put body-worn cameras on all of our officers. And we fortunately were able to get into this program to become part of the pilot program and write a policy and be able to have a 50% match to get our body-worn camera system into use. And it was so very helpful. We had that help to get our cameras and docking stations purchased, be able to purchase the storage that we needed for the first year, and then we're able to add it into our budget for the second year and beyond as of this point. So we already know what our costs are going to be for the 2019 year. And for the 2020 budget year, 2021, we have a five-year projection already on what the costs are going to be. So we can just add that to our budget as we go. If we didn't have the availability of this grant program, we would have had to figure the total cost of putting cameras on all of our officers and figure out where we were going to adjust our budget to be able to purchase those. We've been very fortunate with applying for and receiving grants in our department pretty much since it was put into service. Other than having to budget so far out to add equipment, that pretty much is our, that's our challenge for funding the body-worn camera grant program. Of course, helped immensely in helping us to cover those startup costs. And having that first year where we only had to cover a portion helped us to be able to budget for the future to keep the program going.
Sounds good. You actually answered my next two questions, which were specific to how did the grant program help and how will you be sustaining your program. The grant program really helped you hit those first-year costs and be able to calculate for your future budgets, and you'll be sustaining through the funding from the BIA funds. So that's great, and that the grant program really made it happen is what we want to hear.
We also receive general fund budget dollars from our tribal budget. We have a casino, of course, and that helps us to produce some income for the tribe. So we receive a portion of that income on top of our BIA dollars. But the BIA funds the major portion of our department. So
understandable.
The fact that, I'm sorry?
I said that's understandable.
Yes.
So I think we've covered the funding pretty well. It's very, very good to hear that the grant program really fit the need that it's supposed to fit. What would be the most important advice you would give someone whose agency is considering implementation of a body-worn camera program in a tribal jurisdiction?
I would say that you really need to work with your TTA. The website with the toolbox is absolutely outstanding. Check out the policies that are already there. See what fits, see what doesn't fit. There are several tribal policies already in there. You can pretty much look at those and see where some of it might fit your department, some of it might not. You can always add and take away from your policy. You get a good basic policy. Don't get too specific, because when you start getting too specific, then your officers second guess themselves. Should I record? Should I not record? And work with your TTA absolutely as much as you can, because they are absolutely outstanding.
That's great to hear. Anything else that you want to tell other tribal agencies about starting or operating a body-worn camera program?
I don't think so.
Well, that's that. We appreciate your time. I want to thank you again. We are grateful.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Our pleasure. We are grateful that you could speak with us today to share your knowledge on this important topic. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. Again, that's www.bja.gov/BWC. As Don already said, the toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with adoption and use of body-worn cameras for community engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all these resources, and especially the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Elliot Harkavy of the Bureau of Justice Assistance's Body-Worn Camera Team signing off. Thank you to Dawn, and thank you to our listeners for joining us today.